So the title of this message is Better Than the Angels. I just mentioned that I had first I had put down higher than the angels, but that's not what it says. I got an understanding of something the other day that I mentioned this morning, but it's you'll hear me say this probably kind of frequently, but faith is the eyesight of the Spirit. Faith is the eyesight of the Spirit. By faith, through faith we understand. See, through faith we see. And you don't really see with natural eyes. You see with something else that's inside. In Hebrews 2:3 it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of a salvation? And I thought it said if we ignore, but it says if we neglect, which is about the same thing. And so, anyway, it's important that we hang on to the God's word and go by it. See, when the righteous perish, people don't realize that they are being spared from the evil that is to come. That really hit me. That's in Isaiah 57:1. The other morning, I woke up with a scripture, and I didn't hear a voice. I just woke up with a scripture in my mind that says, don't fear what men can do to you, but I will tell you who to fear. And this, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. And then he said, fear him that after he has killed us, the body can send the soul to hell. And then I heard how that America had aborted 50 million babies. Is that still right?
59 million.
Or 59 million, okay. Which is worse than any known sin of any kind, including the Holocaust. It is. It's worse than the Holocaust. And now we have become a gay nation. Our gays are accepted like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happens if and when a gay gets appointed to some international position? And I was made to realize we don't have to worry about the election. We don't have to be concerned about what God is going to do, but we do have to be concerned about what God is going to do to this nation as a result of what we have allowed to happen to it. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says that God was in Christ. And or the Creator was in the creation, and the creation being the one who was made by the Creator. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, 4:4, it says, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. And so, if people refuse to believe or don't want to believe, the devil moves in and blinds their eyes. One more. I'll get a couple here. In John 17:3, what is said after the "and" is just as important as the first part. It says, eternal life is to know the one true God, or the only true God, and so you can do just like I did with that sign up behind us, and eternal life is also to know the one that God sent. And so, without the second part, the first part becomes impossible. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but through me. Well, what if you don't know him as he really is? When he asked his disciples, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? When he said the Son of Man, wasn't that kind of a giveaway? Who do men say that I am? Does it matter? See, until we know the Son as the man, Christ Jesus, who is the express image of the invisible God, it requires him as a man to reveal who God really is, or declare, it says in John 1:18. And since God is not a man that he should lie, then we have to know him however it is that God knows that we are able to know him. We have to know him the way God designed it. And so since through his word we are able to become partakers of God's divine nature, is this not what the thoughts and the ways of God, which is his divine nature, is that not what we're picking up? And so is not to know God is to know his thoughts and his ways, which is found only in his word. Is that not what knowing God is? I thought, how else can we know God? So blessed is the man who delights in the word of God. Whose delight, no, not delights, whose delight, it's like his chief delight. Maybe his only delight is in the word of God, and on that word does he meditate day and night. Blessed is that man. Why? Because he will pick up the eternal thoughts and the ways of the divine creator that made everything. And so, God sent his own son, Romans 8:3, in the likeness of sinful flesh. See, there's another one. Romans 8:3. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So is he then a man? Or deity? See, the church is basically so ignorant of God's word so that they buy the devil's private interpretations rather than believe the gospel and be saved. Remember what Jesus said? He said, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Is that for today? You know what? I don't know. We come over here and we pray tonight, and I, you know, I'm a little concerned about the nation as well as anybody else, but I got a peace, a good feeling about, you know, what's going on, did I just get a good feeling, or is it a real feeling? I don't know. But anyway, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Isn't what it says? Well, anyway, better than the angels. In the King James Version, it says, in Hebrews 1:4, it says, being made so much better than the angels. I mean, some of the translations say he became better than the angels. And it's like, what's the difference? And yet in Hebrews 2:7, it says he was made lower than the angels. But you know what? It says he was made better than the angels. Then it said he was made, or he became better, or was... He was made so much better. Is that what it says? Is the word made in there? Hebrews 1:4. Okay, the word made was in there. Okay, that's a significant word. And in Hebrews 2:7 it says he was made lower than the angels. Now, the word made is used in all of the translations, at least in the Hebrews 2:7. And so, would not the meaning be the same for both scriptures? I mean, wouldn't it be the same then for both scriptures? And why then is there some kind of a discrepancy, or do those steeped in private interpretations feel better when and if they can seemingly somehow change a word here and there to make something appear different? Is that a possibility? We got some strange things in different translations. All things came out from God, including Christ. In the beginning, God. Everything that exists came out from God. Except that he made the worlds from things that aren't. And so our flesh is made from something that was not. Because our flesh was made out of the dust of the earth. Do you follow what I'm saying? So what we're made, is it any wonder then God is going to make new bodies for us to be in that are not made with hands? They're probably not made out of the dust of the earth either. And so in the beginning, God. And at some point, God made Christ, but since God also created through Christ, then we have a mystery that, of course, is confusing, but it is unraveling. I've got some real ideas as to that. It says that God, that he was made by God, and yet God made the heavens and the earth by him. I think I understand it. However, since God's thoughts and God's ways are so much higher than ours, the answer probably lies in us not being able to equate with the kingdom where God dwells. We don't understand the kingdom yet. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, and I'll show you something here in a minute. We are told, it tells us that the natural man received not the things of God's Spirit. And the reason is, because they are foolish to him. I can understand that. I began to realize that not that most of the church is made up full of natural-minded people. The churches are full of natural-minded people. I was thinking tonight, I was talking to somebody recently about the rapture. And I said, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. And we have people who are counting on the rapture. It's like, oh, I can hardly wait for the rapture. But the problem is, most of these people aren't going to be in it. If we don't work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we ain't going to be in it either. And so, by what I started to say, the churches are full of natural-minded people who try desperately to understand the things of the Spirit. But lest we talk about those other guys, we need to understand that there's still an awful lot of the natural man in all of us. I got way too much natural man. And so the Trinity, or today's strange oneness, are both products of the natural mind, which is what the devil usually works with. He could work with the Spirit, but for the most part, he works with the natural mind. He worked with the natural mind in Eve. And he reasoned with her natural logic. And her natural mind was no match for his overpowering spiritual understanding. The devil is not the dummy that we have learned in our our Sunday school classes. He's not really a dummy. And so, when Eve was confronted with her natural, in her natural ignorance, and it was ignorance, what were her chances? And I would imagine that things happened so quickly that both Adam and Eve were dumbfounded. I'll bet you this did not take a long, long time. It was the same day. Because when the voice of God was in the garden, they tried to hide from it. That's probably the same day. But anyway, we were not created so as to naturally understand the spiritual and eternal word of the Creator. We can't naturally understand it. But rather, we were created so as to recognize that it is not like any other book. And this is the thing, I slowly began to understand that. And then it is not, and then we are to go by it. We are to obey God's word, which in the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Wouldn't it have to be God's word? It's a hard thing for people to understand because people are not familiar with the word, not familiar enough. They don't understand that it is God's word. But the Bible is put together by lots of different men. How can we call it God's word? Faith. The Bible began to build faith in me until I saw what it said in Hebrews 1. In the former days, the past days, God spoke to the fathers, the Jewish fathers, by the prophets. In these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. So the prophets spoke and Jesus spoke, but who did the speaking? God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God did the speaking even through his Son. He said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. So we can't naturally understand spiritual things. We were, you know, but we were created so that we had the ability to recognize that this Bible is not like any other book ever written. And then we are to go by it and obey it. And of course, the question would be, how do we recognize that it is the Word of God and that it is different? Well, I'm not really sure, except faith. And since, like I said, faith is the eyesight of the Spirit. Faith comes through that Word as we familiarize ourselves with it. I use the word familiarize. I don't think I've used it before. Does that fit? Faith comes as we familiarize ourselves with the Word of God. However, only God is able to get us going in the right direction. So He speaks. He spoke to me. A voice spoke. I don't know what, but God caused it to speak. And it said something. It opened up my understanding. It did a miracle in me. And so even salvation is a mystery. However, the prize of eternal life is so valuable so that men need to seek for it no matter what the cost ends up to be, whatever it costs. And that's the difference. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it doesn't matter how much it costs, I got to have it. Jesus told Nicodemus that an interchange must take place before men are able to either see the kingdom of God or enter into it. Now, the kingdom is within us, so he said there has to be an interchange. You have to be born again, or you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. You have to be, you know, of the Spirit. You got to be changed, otherwise you can't enter into the kingdom. You have to be born again before you can see the kingdom. And that appears to mean we have to develop eyes that see by faith spiritually. Then the baptism in the Holy Spirit is actually to cause men to see the spiritual Word of God as a spiritual substance rather than to see as Eve saw or those without the Holy Spirit try to see. Well, I don't believe you have to speak in tongues. I don't believe it's really necessary to receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, we do it different today than they did in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, they needed, and I'm just making this all up, but they needed it so as to prove a point. And as evidence of something. But anyway, that is not the case. Because when I received the Holy Spirit, I wasn't asking to speak in tongues, but I did. And it was a phenomenal experience. It is no wonder that people come up with things as foreign to God's spiritual truth as the Trinity. No wonder they come up with that saying. Since the devil is able to make something like that make sense to minds that are not converted over from the natural to the spiritual. They're not converted. You must become converted and begin to see things as a little child, or you can't enter into heaven. And then what it says in Hebrews 11:3, it tells us that by faith we understand. But faith in this case is not an actual thing, because I didn't see the heavens created by Jesus. I didn't see it created by the Word of God. So how do I know that it really would have happened? You know what I'm saying? But faith only exists when and if men are converted over to spiritual mindsets. If you don't have a spiritual mindset, you'll never believe it. As such, a natural-minded man will never have the type of faith that pleases God, in Hebrews 11:6, because it is not even possible for him to experience a true faith without first being brought by the Holy Spirit into a realm of the Spirit and into the Word. It's not possible. You know, and so it says, through faith we understand, we firmly believe. that the nature or the substance power of the eternal word of the living God created all things. How did it do it? My natural man will never get it. It doesn't make any sense. I can ask myself that for the rest of my life. Until my spiritual eyes begin to see this thing, until something happens inside of me and all of a sudden, I believe it. I can say like Betty used to say, I know it. I know that God's word created everything that exists. And where did Christ fit into this? Because it says that by him God created the heavens and the earth. Through the man or through the spirit of the man? God's spirit. Could the spirit of his son also be there with him? Well, you can shake your heads just like I'm shaking mine. So if that same word that was with God and was God and then was made somehow into flesh, was Christ then somehow with God through that word in the Garden of Eden? Not the man, the spirit of the man. What does it say in Peter? It says that the prophets inquired and searched diligently to understand what the Spirit of Christ that was in them was signifying. I think we got, you know, we're natural. And we're trying to understand this with our natural understanding. We're only able to see through a foggy glass. That's in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Right? And we can only see through a foggy glass, through a glass darkly, it says. However, by the power of real faith, we move into a place of understanding that is foreign to the ignorance of the natural man. In Isaiah 28:9-13, it's one of my favorite, no, I don't want to say that. It's a scripture setting that I like. It's not my favorite, because I like, all of them are my favorites, but it says, whom shall God teach knowledge? Whom shall he teach knowledge? Them that are weaned from the breast? You know, I mean, that's what it says. But anyway, he can't teach knowledge to the natural man. And then in verse 11, see, that's 9, it says, with stammering lips and another tongue will God speak to this people. How do you speak to somebody with stammering lips and another tongue? You know what? Now comes some of the revelations of the Spirit that we need to be getting. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and what else? And you will start understanding. When the Holy Spirit comes, doesn't he teach and guide? And so, with stammering lips and another tongue, see, that's receiving the Holy Spirit. The change over from the natural to the spiritual. The only way that anyone is able to receive and understand spiritual things from God. You can't get it naturally. It has to come somehow spiritually. And so, in almost every church that exists today, men hear words of spiritual nature that are interpreted by teachers of natural logic. Been there, done that. I have spent so many hours trying to understand the spiritual things of God in my natural mind and then teach it naturally. And they try to make those words somehow make sense to those without real ears to hear them anyway. Is that right or not? And as a result, the Bible becomes words hard to listen to rather than exciting words of real life. And so when I was supernaturally told to start hearing God's word over and over and over, I was preparing myself to quote, like it says in Ephesians 6:14, this does not refer to this, but I couldn't pass up using it, to gird up my loins or make myself endure the ongoing hearing of God's word. I was preparing myself for that. I was. Seriously. I am going to endure. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make myself listen. And then one day came, and I began to realize that the hearing of God's word was becoming the most enjoyable thing I had ever done. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the word of God. How is it possible? I used to have to endure. I'm going to read the Bible for 15 minutes. I've been reading 12. Okay. You know what I mean? Read for 15 minutes. Then I got up to a half hour. We used to read every night before we, you know, when our kids were little, we'd open the Bible and read. And we read from Genesis through Revelation. Genesis. You know what we understood? Not much. It didn't matter. But anyway, what began to happen was that these words of eternal life and hope began to become just that. I have the scriptures playing at home. I love them. I love to just sit and listen to them. I'd listen to them while I watch the Packers lose and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And now, but I didn't watch them lose today. I just looked in afterwards and saw how they lost. And so after a steady intake of God's word for, you know, 16, 17 years, I am finally beginning to understand the unbelievable impact that word is able to have on my life and other people. Why? Why does it do what it does? Because it is what it said it is. When I was given or inherited a name, or so on, Christ was given or inherited a name higher than any angel. And in fact, in Hebrews 1:5, it says, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, this day I have begotten thee? See? He's higher than the angel. Hebrews 1:5. And in Hebrews 1:13, it says, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? That's verse 13. And in fact, Hebrews 2:5, it says God put the worlds to come in subjection to Christ. Hebrews 2:5, God put the worlds to come in subjection to Christ. So in verse 9 of Hebrews 2, Jesus was crowned with glory and honor. And in verse 12, Christ declared God's name. And I'm thinking, the declaration of God as he was the expressed image of God. Verse 16, he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. And verse 17, it says it behooved him. In other words, he had to be made like his brethren in all points so that he was able to make reconciliation for all men's sins. Is that not what it says? How do we get a deity son here? How do we get, it's like God made him to be like us. Why do we want to make him to be like God? It's not that he isn't. So he had to be made like unto his brethren. And then in chapter 3 and verse 1, it's Christ is referred to, listen to this, as the apostle. He's an apostle. That does not fit an angel or a god. And a prophet. Yeah. And so, where am I at? Okay, chapter 3, verse 1. As the apostle and the high priest. And, like Ken said, a prophet. Both of which refer to men. And then in verse 2, it says that Christ was appointed. He was appointed. That's strange. He wasn't there forever. He was appointed to that position. Even though God made Christ higher than the angels, God made Christ subject to himself and never the same as. Christ said, my Father is greater than I am. God never made him equal to himself, even though we have tried to. And in 1 Corinthians 15:28, it tells us that when all things are finally subdued unto Christ, then will Christ also submit himself to the Father, so that God may be all in all. It's like, how many verses do we have to read before we realize that we're not talking about a Trinity? All of today's major Godhead teachings reveal the absence of scriptural revelation. All of the doctrine, it's like, I'll get to that. And since faith comes by hearing, and it has to be God's word, it don't happen, you can't do it by going to a church someplace and listening to a minister's private interpretation. And by faith, and only by faith do we understand, Hebrews 11:3, and by true faith we understanding, we please God. And I'm saying only that by that way do we please God. And so faith, like I said, is the eyesight through the Spirit. While natural men have to see with their natural eyes. And Thomas said, unless I can see with my natural eyes and touch with my natural hands. And once he saw, he was so dumbfounded. In that whole setting, that's a strange setting, because Jesus appeared in the room without opening doors. Okay, it has to be a spirit. It's got to be a spirit. And so they said, it's a spirit. And he said, does a spirit have flesh and bones? As you see me have? And it's like, I don't get that. In John 20:29, Jesus said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. But is that possible? Well, only by faith, which comes through the eternal words of God's spirit nature, and which supernaturally changes from a need for natural eyesight into a realm where men are able to see without natural eyesight. Whereas God supernaturally causes men to see in such a way that it is as though they do have invisible eyes somewhere. That's what's starting to happen. It's like, why do I believe that? Why can I see that? Why do I understand that? In John 3:3, Jesus told Nicodemus, and this is in all translations, except someone is born of the Spirit, born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, we know that the kingdom of God comes without observation. Is that what we? Well, observation is a natural eyesight. It's natural things. And yet the understanding that comes from faith, or through faith, and that first comes by the hearing of God's words of truth, exposes some unseen eyes within men's spirits. I don't know, maybe I put the word baby because I don't know where they are. So that men see spiritual things as though they were somehow visible. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus gave us a number. It's only in that chapter, the 13th chapter of Matthew. I don't know if it's in any other of the books. A parable so as to cause men to get the picture or the nature of the kingdom of God. However, the reason for parables is so that the natural man can't get it straight anyway. Isn't that what it says? The natural man can't understand. However, an ongoing intake of those parables by those who are being converted from the natural to the spiritual, is that not what conversion is? Will cause men to visualize a future place that only the Holy Spirit is able to reveal. I don't know how and why I am able to see into a kingdom that God has created, that God is going to have, or God has, because of this word. It's like I can see it with my eyes, but I can't see it with my eyes. See, 1 Corinthians 2:10 and verse 9, it says, the things that eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, or had it entered into the hearts of men, that God has prepared for those that love him, these things will God reveal to men by his Spirit. You know what? I have always, because of the natural outlook of this, I've always imagined that this was a future time that, you know, that we'll get this understanding. And I realized, no, that's not true. We're going to start getting it right now. We'll get it in this life, because if we're changed into the spiritual realm. Jesus saw spiritual things and walked in them. And the devil, or the Antichrist, also tries to paint images within men. And of course, that's why it says in 1 John 4:3, he plants an image that the devil has painted within the minds and hearts of men for millions of hundreds of years, that Christ is not flesh. And if he's not flesh, then what is he? He has to be spirit. And see, that's how we come up with that. And with the co-equal false concept, co-eternal, co-equal, men are forced to see God's Son as deity. That's our problem. That's what those things do. It's like, well, you have to believe it by faith. You can't prove it from the scriptures. It's like, how stupid do we get? If you can't prove it by scriptures, and Jesus said God's word is truth, what do you go by? The tombstones, like that minister wanted to prove the infant baptism to Joanne and I that one time. It's like, wait a minute. And so anyway, when you and I begin to see, and when other people begin to see the Son of God as a man, he's like us, only without sin, like we are, then we are of all people the most blessed. If we can see it, this to me, this has got to be one of the most major revelations that I have ever had. And it's a big one. No wonder Brad Medel used to be excited about it. You know what? He still is. See, because unless we see him as a man, then the rest of the scriptures make absolutely no sense. The scriptures don't make sense. God calls him a man. Christ calls himself a man. And all of the Old and the New Testament writers referred to Christ as a man. And in fact, only as a man is he able to express the divine nature of the invisible God. Otherwise, he'd be invisible too. See, if he was deity, yeah, he'd be invisible. And that is why he asked his disciples, does a spirit have flesh and bones like you see me have? That scripture set in alone should give men some major insights. That's in Luke 24:39. And since Jesus said, God is spirit in John 4:24, which would tell us that if he were co-equal and co-eternal, wouldn't he also be a spirit? At what point do you make this transition? And Jesus continued to refer to himself as the Son of Man, which the Trinitarians and today's strange type of oneness are totally baffled by. I can remember years ago, I haven't always seen this as we are beginning to see it. And I used to wonder, why did he keep calling himself the Son of Man? I mean, he's God the Son. He's half God and half man. Whatever. And so, the scriptures only fit together with themselves when and if men receive a love for the truth and go after it. And so, what has happened? I am not satisfied with what I know. I know more than I did, but I'm not satisfied with what I know. And so what happens? I want the truth. And the thing is, if I lived to be 200 years old, and I had truth pumped into me constantly for all that period of time, I still wouldn't have all the truth. But I'd have an awful lot more than I got now. And so Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And if Peter would have said, I believe you are God the Son, Jesus would have rebuked him. rather than blessing him. See, for God to come up with an only begotten co-eternal, for God to come up with an only begotten co-eternal son, doesn't really make a lot of sense. Would go against the entire tenor of the scriptures. And since faith comes by hearing God's truth, and yet men are told they must believe the unscriptural Trinity theory by faith, that's about as wild as it gets. But we don't think about those things. You don't think about them until God starts putting on you and you start realizing that's dumb. So we are told we have to set aside the eternal word of God and have faith through some other means. Then we might as well forget the whole issue of truth. If we have to forget the scriptures in order to have a doctrine like the Trinity, we got a problem. Jesus prayed and said, Father, or he said, sanctify them through your truth, your word is truth. Well, if there's a Trinity, then apparently it's not. Then somebody took the liberty to change it. Well, do we accept that and do we believe it? Well, if we don't, I mean, do we believe that what Jesus said, that God's word is, this word is truth? If we don't believe that it's the truth, then we don't have anything to stand on. And so if we are told to believe anything without God's word being in the center of it, we got problems. I didn't realize that, but now I do. And yet, it's like that. When I said that, it reminded me of that old little rhyme about Atheist Jones or something lies beneath this sod, a man of faith he never was. He thought it strange to believe in God. He never did, but now he does. But anyway, the vast majority of all of today's church doctrines cannot be found within God's word. And that is scary. I've been there, done that. However, people are told that traditional doctrines are equal to God's word. They're equal to. And I know some people that believe that today's prophets have the anointing of God to update God's word. And I don't think so. But anyway, they're told that these traditional doctrines are actually equal or what God's word really means. And that they are that only the that's the next thing. Many people are told that only the qualified people are able to actually accurately interpret God's word. Isn't that kind of what the Catholic Church, where they were? You know what? That hasn't changed. It's still a thing because the people realize that they can't prove their doctrines from the Bible. So that means then that the only ones qualified to understand the Bible and bring to see are the teachers and the pastors and whoever else. And so our men are subtly taught to avoid God's word because they are not capable of understanding what it means. And so when men find strange scripture verses, they go to their all-knowing pastor and he interprets it for them the way his organization has taught him. And men believe what the pastor says because they have been taught that men are submit to those who have the rule over them. And hell enlarges her borders. And so God's word that is meant to enlighten every single person is not able to quicken and change many churchgoers. It's not able to change them because they don't have access to it. It's a strange, strange thing. Been there, done that. We did it, not for the same reason. We weren't told that the word wasn't okay, but there was so much, quote, enlightenment coming from the top things that's what we listened to, and we went by what they said. And you know what? That's wrong. That word was given to you and 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 me and whoever. And If we all listen to God's word, we're not going to all come up with different things. We're going to end up coming up with the same thing. If we make it a way of life, if we read it occasionally, we will come up with private interpretations. If we make it a way of life, if it actually becomes what it says in Psalms 1, and you know, blessed is the man whose delight is in the Word. If my delight is in the Word of God, and your delight is in the Word of God, we will come up to the same revelations. And so again, in Hebrews 2, 7 and 9, we are told that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. However, verse 9 tells us why. For the suffering of death, because angels can't die. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But in chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us that all, it says, did you know that all angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation? All of them are? You suppose maybe that the devil and his angels were created for that same purpose at one time? If men are in Christ, then they too are made better than the angels. Hebrews 1:4. I think so. I think that we are God's prize. He says, in the day when I make up my jewels, I think we're God's delight. And He wants us to delight in Him. It's an exchange. I don't believe that God has ever created anything quite like us and has designed us so as to be or to become. I mean, as unbelievable as it may sound, His own sons and daughters. Isn't that what it says in 2 Corinthians 6, 17, 18? Come out from among them and be separate, and I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters. And so, now I don't really know about anybody else, but it is no wonder that Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But a lot of people are going to miss it. We were created somehow with certain characteristics that resemble the Creator. What are they? I think it may be to analyze. I mean, maybe we have misused a lot of them, but I think God can analyze. God can, God can judge. I think we are given a lot of these things. A lot of the characteristics. And what He wants is His Word in us. He wants that Word in us. And I don't know how, only by the mercy of God that we start to open up to it. But I love it. What is happening? And it says, it doesn't appear to me, but it says it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like. But when Christ appears, we're going to be like Him. Somehow He's God's only begotten Son. We're going to be joint heirs with Him. Isn't that what it says? So somehow we're going to be joined together with God in an unbelievable way. Is it any wonder that God calls many but only chooses a few of them? I can understand that. You know, my desire is, Lord, choose me at the end of this mess. Just choose me. I mean, I want Him to choose you too, and I want Him to choose other people, but you know what? I want Him to choose me. Now, I don't know what it is about us that God considers to be in His image. However, whatever and whoever Jesus ends up to be is also God's created end for us. We're going to be like Him. God is going to glorify His Son, and won't He glorify His Son's brethren? Won't we be glorified along with him? So that we're all alike? I mean, the Bible says that, but I can understand that. In Hebrews 1:5 it says, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, this day I have begotten you? And as such, and this is where it is, 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18, to which of the angels did God ever say, come out from false things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters? He didn't say that to any of the angels either. But he did say it to us. Come out from these false, stupid things, and I will be, and you will be my sons and daughters. And so, angels are all ministering spirits. Guess what? And happy to be. I don't know what angel it was that helped me from falling down on those prickly things sticking up when we were out smell fishing. But he seemed to be real happy to help me from killing myself. Grabbed hold of my arm, and he was husky. I so strong. Grabbed me by the arm, picked me up, put me on the path, and he said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I am now, thanks to you. And he says, well, have a nice something. And I don't know where he went. He went up the hill. Only Brittany was about from here to Charlie away from me with a flashlight looking my way when I started to fall. But she saw it, so I didn't say nothing. And so a little while later, we were talking, I said, did you see me start to fall? And she said, no. And I said, I'm just sure glad that guy was standing there. And she says, what guy? She had one of these big, bright flashlights aimed right at me. She never saw him. But he was a person with a jacket on. Where'd he come from? And I'm thinking, I don't know if it was my angel or somebody else's, but he was sure handy. It would appear to me, if I'm getting this right from the scriptures, it would appear to me that God designed those angels with us in mind. So that they could and would minister. You know what it means to minister? To serve us. See, this verse says that they were all sent forth for our sakes. That's what it says. To minister to the heirs of salvation. All of them were sent forth for that reason. So anyway, love you. God bless you.